Welcome to the Code to a Freer, Fuller Life with Transformational Life Coach Christy Karate.
This series is four lessons based on the classic book, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. In this book, Wattles reveals a formula or a code for creating the life you truly desire, one that is richer, fuller, and freer. Here's Christy with lesson one.
Going to start by setting the tone. And if you have a piece of paper or a good memory, you'll want to write down, let's start with something that you're grateful for. Move into that place of gratitude. Something that you're grateful for. And then something that you've done that you're proud of. Something that you're proud of that you've done. And I'm going to say that today I'm grateful for my coach. I've been working with Kirsten, and we had a really great session this morning. And I just love being in the deeper dive of this work. And then I'm proud of accomplishing all three of my intentions for today. And so you might think in that direction, something that you're grateful for and something you're proud of. And breathe that in. Allow that to come in and settle and be the frequency that you listen to what we are talking about. Today is our first day of the month of The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles, and we're going to take a deep dive into that. You know, people sometimes get a little bit freaked out by the idea of the science of getting rich, that it's a get-rich-quick scheme or something like that. But it's called it the physics of a freer, fuller life, because that's really what he's talking about in this book, is how to create a freer, fuller life, because it's not the money we want. It's what the money can bring us that we want. So it's paying our bills. It's going on vacation. It's getting to our destination. Just like it's not the plane ticket you want when you buy a plane ticket. It's actually to get to the destination that you want. And it's the same thing with money or the concept of getting rich. Getting rich is about a richer, freer, fuller life. So what we're going to focus on this month is chapters 4, 7, 11, and 14. And this is actually a formula, a code that is throughout this whole book on how to create a life that you love living. And so I'm going to start out by sharing with you the code, the formula, if you will, that's in this book and that we're going to be going through as we go through chapters 4, 7, 11, and 14. So chapter 4 is about thinking in a certain way, and that's what we're going to talk about today, is what that means to think in a certain way. Chapter 7 is about acting in a certain way. And chapter 11 is about gratitude. And of course, we've talked a lot about gratitude. And I want you to know this, so as you read this chapter, and I hope you're diving into this, I hope that you're reading this every day. There is actually amazing transformation. I read these four chapters every day without fail for 90 days. And it was life-changing. It was transforming. And Mary will give that as a charge to her students. You know, if you so desire to really dive deeply, to really get this work inside of you, read it for 90 days. And Bob Proctor shares the same thing with his students. In fact, he said to Mary one time, "You haven't read this, or I'd see the result in your life." I don't know if any of you have ever seen Bob Proctor in person, but he's very straightforward. But my invitation to you is just to start reading this daily for this month at the minimum. Chapter 14 is on being a person of increase. And I will tell you, when I really got it deep in my being about how transforming, not only for me, but for people around me, and even for this planet, being a person of increase could be, was when I did the 90 days of reading this work. Sometimes it seems redundant to read the same words over and over and over again, but it, like all of a sudden one day I've read the same line over and over again, and all of a sudden a deeper meaning comes through to me. This is really taking a deeper dive into these four steps as being the formula, a formula to creating that freer, fuller expression of life. And I'm actually, what I'm going to do, and I hope you have the material in front of you if you possibly can, or when you go back and listen to it, have the material in it. Because what I'm actually going to do today is to pretty much read through and discuss the material. So I'm just going to start actually right on chapter 4, the first principle of the science of getting rich, which is thinking in a certain way. So thought is the only power which can produce tangible riches from the formless substance. And we're going to talk in a minute what the formless substance is. Thought is the only power which can produce tangible riches from this formless substance. Now, one of the reasons that I call this the physics of a freer and fuller life is because quantum physics is about that they did experiments where they could have repeatable results over and over and over again. And then they started seeing fluctuations in these results. And so they started looking deeper into what was the common factor. And the common factor was that when they had a nice controlled substance area, waves, molecules, particles would have the same response. But when they took it out of that controlled environment, it would change. And so they just started playing around with this idea, and what they found was that it was the observer, that adding the element of an observer is what actually changed the particles, which made them form differently. And so to put that in layman's terms, our thinking, our thought on substance or in the formless substance, in the quantum field, actually changes the way that molecules will form, that particles will form, okay? So, I am not a physicist by any means, but that's what this means when it says thought is the only power which can produce tangible riches from the formless substance. So the formless substance is the universe. It is the quantum field. It is principle. It is that that is. Some people call it God. Okay, the stuff from which all things are made is a substance which thinks, and a thought of form in this substance produces the form. So a thought in this substance produces the form. And this formless substance is only activated by thought. So if it's a random thought, if it's a thought of an existing belief system or whatever, it will create the same thing. So original substance moves according to its thoughts. Every form and process you see in nature is the visible expression of a thought in original substance. As the formless stuff thinks of a form, it takes that form. As it thinks in a motion, it takes that motion. That is the way all things were created. We live in a thought world, which is part of a thought universe. The thought of a moving universe extended throughout formless substance, and the thinking stuff moving according to that thought took the form of the systems of the planets and maintains that form. So it's saying here, that was some original thought that got everything moving into this circling system of the sun. And thinking the form of a slow-growing oak tree, it moves according and produces the tree, though centuries may be required to do the work. So this is an interesting sentence, actually. It says that the oak tree, the acorn, has a thinking substance within it, and it is an oak tree. And this is one of the really important reasons that we work at crafting our vision, that we look into what is my longing, what is my desire to become, because that's just like the oak tree. There is something in our DNA that is pushing us, moving us into a place of creating ourselves in our becoming. And it's an interesting thing because we have volition, we have choice, as opposed to an oak tree. An oak tree doesn't have the chance to say, oh, rather than an oak tree, I'd really rather be a tulip, but we do. We get influenced. We have this thinking mind that has choice in it. And sometimes that gets us confused, especially when we buy into the status quo. And we don't know what our oak tree-ness is. And that's why this work, we look at our discontent and we look at our longing. That is what's inside of us. It's our GPS system telling us what our becoming is, what our oak tree-ness is. And in creating, the formless seems to move according to the lines of motion it has established. Okay, the thought of an oak tree does not cause the instant formation of a full-grown tree, but it does start in motion the forces which will produce the tree. And this is just like our vision. When we set our vision, when we set an intention, it doesn't happen automatically. There are people in this world, there are yogis and people in this world that actually know the power and the ability to actually manifest this stuff instantaneously. But the general population, there is a process that it takes. And what that process is, and we'll get to this in a minute too, is the continuous application of the thought process. And that's why we read our vision every day, is to get it in us so that we remember every day. We carve those grooves in our brain that says, this is the truth about me. And that's why we read this work for 90 days. Is that's what it takes to get it to form those grooves in our brain. 90 days of continuous, without stop. You know, this, I don't know what to call it, this charge, this invitation that Mary makes, that Bob makes of the 90 days is part of the rules are if you skip a day, you start over. You start over on that 90 days if you accidentally miss a day. And the point is that this is continuous, okay? But it does move along the established lines of growth. Okay, and the established lines of growth are the habits. We're always looking to change our habits. Well, we're also wanting to instill good habits. And we want to remember to think what we want to think. We want to remember to hold the thoughts that we want to hold. So it's about establishing along the lines of growth. Every thought of form held in thinking substance causes the creation of the form, but always or at least generally along lines of growth and action already established. So, first of all, one of the lines of growth is that we are human beings here having a particular experience. We're all speaking, breathing, talking, right? But through constant reestablishing of new habits, we can design or redesign the life that we want to live. Okay, moving to a few paragraphs later, it says, in italics, so that's easy to find a few there, no thought of form can be impressed upon original substance without causing the creation of the form. So this is really curious, right? Because we say, well, over here we talked about it takes a while for the oak tree to become an oak tree. But no thought of form can be impressed upon original substance without causing the creation of the form. Now, the creation of the form is moving it in the direction of, and that's one of the reasons we want to be absolute about our thinking. Because when we let those thoughts, and this is why I got on the phone with my coach today, it was like I was having some rattle around some things in my vision. And it's like, call my coach and say, you know, coach me through this. And I was letting some old thinking beliefs creep in. And as I let them creep in, they must become form. So they affect all of my conscious, deliberate thinking. Then they come in, they start affecting, maybe slowing down my progress, maybe kind of influencing it in a certain way, causing me to feel a different way. And so every thought, but we're going to get to a little more about this, okay? But every thought impressed upon original substance becomes form, okay? So man is a thinking center and can originate thought. All the forms that man fashions with his hands must first exist in his thought. He cannot shape a thing until he has thought that thing. And that's the thing that we use, that, you know, everything is thought twice. So the chair you're sitting in, the phone system we're talking on, all of that was first a thought, And the action comes through us as well. That's what we're going to talk about next week. So every thought is thought twice. So a couple paragraphs down, there's a paragraph that starts with first. So this is the formula here. There's three steps in this chapter, okay? First, we assert that there is one original formless stuff or substance from which all things are made. All the seemingly many elements are but different presentations of one element. All the many forms found in our organic and inorganic nature are but different shapes made from the same stuff. And this stuff is thinking stuff. And what he really means by there, the way I understand it clear, is it's intelligent. Like I think of the clay that I make pottery or clay things out of, and it has a memory, but it doesn't have a thinking property of itself. But this thinking stuff that we're talking about, the quantum field, the physics, the law, the principle, is actually an intelligence. And it responds, and a thought held in it produces the form of the thought. Thought in the thinking substance produces shapes. Man is a thinking center. So we have this really great ability, this almost like a responsibility. You know, we are a thinking center capable of original thought. If man can communicate his thought to original thinking substance, he can cause the creation or formation of the thing he thinks about. So really, this is thought in a thinking substance produces shape. So our thought, and it's so easy to think about it when you think of the book, you know, The Creative Way, when I created that. It was an inspiration. It was a thought. And it became form because of my thought. Now, why don't all thoughts become forms? Well, it comes back to that repetition. It comes back to the attention paid to it. It comes back to what is important. What are we going to focus on? Okay, so my mom's been working on a book for years and years, and it's really ready to go. Why isn't it out there? And if I could get her to go through this process, I know this that book. I've done everything I can. I've even put money into it for her, you know. But it's like, it's got to be repetition. It's got to be doubt out, faith in. You've got to believe in this. You've got to keep it in the foreground. And yes, it's true that if you have a majority of your thoughts going in that direction, I will tell you that when I was creating the book, I had doubts and lulls and times when maybe I wasn't pushing forward as often or quickly. So it is kind of a proportional thing. You want to have the majority of your thoughts. Mary says we want to learn to become more awake and less asleep. So this is a great paragraph to memorize, or a couple paragraphs here. This is repeated over and over throughout the book. There is a thinking stuff from which all things are made and which, in its original state, permeates, penetrates, and fills the interspaces of the universe. A thought in the substance produces the thing that is imagined by the thought. A person can form things in their thought by impressing their thought upon formless substance and can cause the thing that they think about to be created. And I know each one of you have a simple example of when you set out to do something and you had the thought first, then you put the action behind it, and then it became the thing. And that's what this paragraph says when it says, reasoning back from the phenomena of form and thought, I come to the original thinking substance. And reasoning forward from the thinking substance, I come to man's power to cause the formation of the thing he thinks about. So then he goes into, I can tell you this is true, this is absolutely true, I can prove it to you. And how he can prove it to you is that if anyone has ever accomplished this, then it is possible. So that is comparison being one of the things that can really stop us in our tracks from realizing our dream is when we start comparing to others. But here is a good use of comparison. When we know that somebody else has done something as powerful, as great, as successful, whatever, then we must know that we are not the great exception, that we are part of the same universe, and therefore it is possible. This and even greater things, because we live in that ever-spiraling universe. I have said that men get rich by doing things in a certain way, and in order to do so, men must become able to think in a certain way. A man's way of doing things is the direct result of the way he thinks about things. So it's not the other way around. The way we do things causes the way we think. Really, absolutely everything we do is actually starts with a thought. To do the things that seem like they're not are actually kind of programmed in us by the status quo and about by the beliefs and the things that we have been convinced of, you know, and so we do them by rote. And actually, 90% of our thoughts that we have in the course of a day are recycled thoughts. And when I was a child, I used to play this game. I still do, but not like I did, because we traveled a lot. We were on the road. We were driving, traveling family. And I just remember thinking about looking and trying to see something that I'd never seen before out in the landscape, or thinking a thought that I'd never had before. And I think that that is really important in this work, because yes, if somebody else has done it, it can be done. And greater things, and that we are each here. We have a unique DNA in us, a unique acornness, a unique oak tree-ness that no one else has, just in a particular way. And I really believe that our intention is to create in a way that has never been created before. We're not a duplicate. We're an original. Okay, so to do things in a way you want to do them, you will have to acquire the ability to think the way you want to think. This is the first step towards getting rich. To think what you want to think is to think truth regardless of appearance. This is such a powerful sentence, and this next, I love this. You know, to think what you want to think is to think truth regardless of appearances. So it's about weeding out, is this a Delilah? Is this a boogeyman? Is this a, you know, where did this thought come from and what is the truth? Okay, every man has the natural and inherent power to speak what he wants to think, but it requires far more effort to do so than it does to think the thoughts which are suggested by appearance. To think according to appearance is easy. To think truth regardless of appearance is laborious and requires the expenditure of more power than any other work man is called upon to perform. I'm going to skip this next paragraph. To look upon the appearance of disease will produce the form of disease in your own mind and ultimately in your body. And the ultimately is really kind of important here. The ultimately is that, you know, there does need to be an accumulation of the thought process. You know, if you just think, wake up one morning and go, what if I get sick? That thought in and of itself is not the repetitive thought that creates that experience. But if you continually look at the form of disease in your own mind, ultimately your body, unless you hold the thought of truth, which is that there is no disease, it is only an appearance and the reality is health. So how we get that as being the reality is that we look at the natural elements, the natural principles of the universe. Okay, the universe is a loving, well, it's not even loving in the way that we think of loving, but it is a loving, forward-moving, it is not vindictive. It really just is. And it is health, and it is abundance. It is living a forward-moving, expanded, joyful expression of life. That is the natural, inherent nature of life. And so when we move to the idea there is no disease, it is only an appearance, and the reality is health. To look upon the appearance of poverty will produce corresponding forms in your own mind. Unless you hold the truth that there is no poverty, there is only abundance. To think health when surrounded by the appearance of disease, or to think riches when in the midst of appearance of poverty, requires power. But he who acquires the power becomes a mastermind. He can conquer fate. He can have what he wants. And this is by the deliberate thought. It is not magic. It is not manipulation. It is simply moving to a truth and allowing discord to fall away. Anything unlike nature, natural, moving forward. This power can only be acquired by getting hold of the basic fact which is behind all appearance. The fact is that there is one thinking substance from which and by which all things are made. And I've shared with you the story of one of the Star Trek episodes where their thoughts create whatever out in front of them. And one guy is afraid of fire, and so fire appears. And because he's afraid of fire, it makes even bigger fire. You know, that's kind of how our thinking tends to be. But we, you know, laborious is kind of an interesting word. But to think regardless of appearance requires the expenditure of more power than any other work man is called upon to perform. Maybe not even more work. In fact, if you do this, if you learn this, it's less work. When you start being able to decipher out appearances versus truth, then we must grasp the truth that every thought held in the substance becomes form, and that man can so impress his thought upon it as to cause them to take form and become visible things. You must lay aside all other concepts in the universe than the monastic ones. There's a reason that I'm reading this. You know, you have to remember this was written in 1910, and this was a very archaic language and way of thinking stuff. But, you know, put on that translator, you know, to understand what they're saying. So you must lay aside all of the concepts of the universe than the monastic one, and you must dwell upon it until it is fixed in your mind and has become your habitual thought. The important part of that sentence is to allow this truth to become your thought, to allow you to become conscious and deliberate about the thoughts that you want to hold. And that idea of holding a thought is the idea of creating it as a pattern, as a habit. So that's why we say we hold the thought. And so we hold that thought and we keep the other thoughts out. Read this over and over again. Put it in your memory. Don't let other magazines or books come in and influence you. The important thing here is you choose what you want to let in. You choose what you want to create. So, to go through the three steps, and there's actually a fourth one here, that there is a thinking stuff. So there is this quantum field, this universal principle. Number two, every thought held in the substance becomes this form. And that's the idea of holding, remembering, repeat, rinse and repeat. You know, get those appearance thoughts out and repeat the truth and repeat what it is that you want to be thinking. And then number three is you can choose your thought. That's your choice. You can choose your thought. And number four is that you have to work with the law. So Mary's talked about the story about the guy wanting to go into the bank and cash the check, and you have to put your name on the back of the check. And he says, I don't want to do it that way. He says, well, then we can't help you. Goes to another bank, says, I don't want to do it your way. They pull out a bat. They hit him over the head with a rubber bat. And he goes, oh, okay, I'll sign the check. And the point of that story is, if your way's not working, take a look around you. Take a look in your life. Is your life working? If there's something that you want to change, look at how you're in discord with truth versus appearance. And get in alignment. Work with the law. This material right here is the basis of what they use to create The Secret. It's talking about the law of attraction. You work in the way with the universal principles. I hope that you're reading this every day. So next week we're going to chapter 11. It's about gratitude.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Here are two exclusive podcast listener offers. First, for a limited time, podcast listeners can work with Christy in person at a deep discount. Christy offers a unique coaching modality of her own creation that helps clients discover their own answers to where they're stuck and how to move forward. As one of her clients puts it, it always works. This transformative process is designed to help you identify blocks and create breakthroughs in your personal and professional life. As a thank you for listening to the podcast, you're eligible for a special discount. Normally $97 for a half-hour introductory session, podcast listeners get a $70 discount automatically applied if you use this link, masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. That's masteringtheartoflife.com/podcast-IWD-offer. And that link is in the podcast general description as well. Second, you can get the entire library of Mastering the Art of Life with PDF notes and worksheets for each lesson, plus bonuses at no cost at masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month opt-in, all one word, masteringtheartoflife.com/9-month opt-in. That link is also in the general podcast description.